Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to be here. I also want to acknowledge the presence of a colleague who I work with in the work that I'm about to present, and his name is Vincent LaFaranza. He is the president of the Institute of Public Health Innovations, and Vinny wanted to recognize your work in guiding this work as well. So I guess I'm supposed to say that I have no financial relationships in this presentation. Is that correct? Okay. It sounds like, as was disclosed, I was in public life. I was the mayor of Bladensburg. I was also on the Prince George's County Council, and ended my time as a state senator. So this sounds very familiar with doing this. And I'm also with a senior policy analyst with Common Health Action, and that's where I work with Vinny. And so okay, I'm done with that. So I have two sons in graduate school, and so we do PowerPoints. I say, son number one is son number two, do it for me. All right, so I want to go very quickly, and please keep my time and tell me just to shut up. And so my presentation is about how to get the community engaged into changing their environment in a way that improves health. And so where we come from, or where I come from, is a place called Prince George's County, Maryland. Anybody ever hear of Prince George's County, Maryland? All right, go Prince George's. And specifically deal with the area known as the port towns of Bladensburg, Comer Manor, Cottage City, and Edmonston. And we are fortunate enough to have some support from the Kaiser Permanente, Meyer Foundation, United Way of the National Capital Area, and also Consumer Health Foundation. And through that work, we were selected by Kaiser Permanente's Community Health Initiative in part, and through their HEAL efforts, and that's why you see here, Healthy Eating and Active Living. And so that involves then three major pieces. One is to build community leadership capacity. The other is to deal with cross-sectional collaboration. This is very important when dealing with this work, because without it, then you never be able to achieve then the kinds of objectives that you want to attend. And that is, the collaboration deals with then government, nonprofits, and community in dealing with place and policy change. And then lastly, builds a replicable model that's sustainable, that addresses then the chronic diseases that exist in the community. So that is our logo. And next is then is a map of Prince George's County. And so you see that line that's closest to the District of Columbia. That's where the port towns reside. Some of us call that an inner beltway. And if you look at the inner beltway, then also those are the areas that have the oldest communities that also have the highest levels of chronic disease. And we see that through some of the statistics. In Prince George's County, 69% of the residents are either obese or overweight. With 48% of the children being at risk for obesity. And then we have the highest statistics around death and heart disease in Prince George's County. Okay. And so when we talk about this, then, it's not about having access, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with this, it's not about having access to health clinics, but it's also addressing then the place where this occurs. So we believe in approaching this work that, and you've heard this again and again, that one zip code is a stronger predictor, that health disparities and individual health are heavily influenced by place, that improving access to healthy foods obviously makes a difference. But the last point is building healthy surroundings for people in a collaborative way. And that is, it's not individualistic. It's about collaboration with other entities that have helped them build the change that we want to see. And so where we begin this work, we begin to form then the policy frame for this, and the policy frame then influence the community work that you will see later on, and then the community work then helps evaluate whether or not we went far enough in policy. And so full disclosure, when I was on the County Council of Prince George's, we began to look at then having a wellness opportunity zone, and that is placing health at the center of all land use planning. And particularly, we used the Port Towns community as the model for doing this. And so what did that do? It helped create then a green community. We focused on looking at how we can use solar and wind and usable energy sources as a way of promoting the environment. We looked at then sustaining the environment, sustainable places for built environment. So green streets, bike paths, looking at stormwater management very differently. So by changing the zoning, we were able to do then some of these things that help accelerate that and provide then incentives for this. We looked at creating jobs even. So that's President Obama. He did actually visit Bladensburg. And that zoning helped then support this small business in a way that then this was acknowledged by the federal government as an ideal small business. We began to look at open space very differently, so where we were able to have community activities. And then also then looking at open space as promoting community gardens and clubs. So the zoning and the policy helped begin to frame the level of community activity and also began to frame then the larger economic opportunities. And then we also took real utilization of a waterfront park to bring attention of the Anacostia River. The Anacostia River is one of the dirtiest rivers in the United States. But in this way, by providing an environmental venue, then the citizens began to involve in advocacy and in helping to improve the environment. And of course, you see some of the activities like canoeing and bird watching, fishing, biking, and walking. So it was the policy that helped then influence then some of these activities that got the community involved. So I want to show then two examples where now where the policy helped frame then the activities that helped. Why is this moving? Active living. You know, my presentation is going so well that it's even influencing and infecting the technology. So I want to talk about two activities, particularly that has influenced our work in two major pieces, and that is food equity in a way that then looks at people being able to participate in food production and touching the food so that they understand the connection of food to health, as well as a way of addressing, obviously, food deserts that may exist, that they can have power over them creating, getting rid of the food desert and creating food equity. And so we have a local farm in one of the towns, in the port towns. It's in Edmiston. It's called Eco City Farms. And it's actually a one-acre farm where they have chickens. They grow mustard greens. They grow collard greens. They grow cabbage. They grow all kinds of things. And people literally come on the farm, pick it, and eat it. And so here they have their own, and they've been funded not only through the work that we're doing. They've gotten a USDA grant of about, I think, $300,000. And so they're a year-round farm. And so they also do their own composting. You see those worms in the middle? So it's those worm carcasses, believe it or not, that's actually part of the composting. And so we had actually, recently we had our food day right on the farm where citizens, again, came on the farm, saw it in connection with their community, and we even then moved about healthy eating. We have volunteers who actually grow the crops. And then you see here the community then taking charge and taking ownership over the farm itself. And now you see the youth actually doing this as well. And a call for volunteers. So volunteerism is key when trying to address your health issues. So health is not only just about what people are eating, but it's also about how they engage in community to improve their community. So the next thing now is a faith-based then youth program. We believe that in sustaining any program, you must involve the youth. So this is End Times Harvest Ministries that have a Youth Wellness Leadership Institute, where the youth are involved in beginning to design and look at ways of how they can improve the built environment, how they can use tools like PhotoVoice, and then present that to the local communities and present that to structures in a way that then they take on leadership. So they then own the process. And so this is the youth themselves are saying that they want to empower others to make healthy eating and active living choices. and they have their own wealth ambassadors that begin to then influence, and that's a peer-to-peer relationship that they have. So it's not only that they take on the work, but they begin to influence others in the work. You see that handsome guy in the middle in the picture below? That is me. Make no mistake about it. So they also get into data collection of their own. And so by understanding the data and engaging in this, then they get a fuller understanding of how they can influence their community, and they're more likely then to take ownership of the process. And they also then influence school, right? So if you're seeing a pattern here, we're influencing people where they live, influencing where children go to school, and then influencing people where they also worship. And so this is End Time Harvest Ministries. That's also part of the partnership. And then we have larger nonprofits, countywide nonprofits that engage in this work. So we're not only concerned about what goes on in Prince George's County as a municipality, but we also then want to expand the work, to create replicable models that can happen in other municipalities. So it's not just about healing one place, if you will, but it's about creating a model that others could follow. Okay. And so this is access to holistic and productive living. That's also part of this work. That in the middle picture is our county executive, who now has bought into the work and is fund and provided funding. So, in closure, then, what is the learning then that we were able to take on? Number one, the learning is about policy, and so having policy take on framing then the community implementation, and the community implementation then evaluating the policy. So it's this circular piece. That instead of seeing policy as this unreachable piece for community, the community has to see policy as a place where they can have change and influence. The second place of learning is that place matters. That how we change then place will improve health. The third is then we must have strategies that are measurable. So it's not enough just to say that we have good things going on, but we have to be targeted in our community engagement in a way that we can see change. So it's not about trying to change the universe. It's about identifying where places are, identifying where we could touch people, and then through periods of time and evaluation, seeing the fact of whether or not these strategies are making a difference. And if they're not, they're making cost corrections in a way that will be able to then influence the policy that I talked about earlier. And I think the last point that I would like to make is that in all this work, it's not about individual efforts, but it's about creating a partnership in a way that you have government at the table, that you have other nonprofits at the table, that you have community at the table, so that then you create this community public-private partnership that is sustainable, that they own it, and that in the way that they want to advance it. And at the core of all this is engaging the community and organizing the community. Because I think in a lot of this work, we fail to recognize the importance of community engagement and community organizing. Thank you.